You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I'm asking you the question, how often do you allow family and friends to get away with things that they shouldn't get away with in fear of rocking the boat and in fear of losing them, right? Isn't that what rocking the boat is considered? I'm scared of losing them in my life. I'm scared of them walking out of my life because I want them, I need them, I want their love, I want their acceptance. And so on today's show, I'm really going to elaborate about what are the reasons why we do it and what are some of the things that they do that really get in the way of a healthy relationship. Because what's happening, there's just so many dualities in the situation. When somebody does something or says something that's antithetical to your values or antithetical to you, it hurts your feelings, it upsets you, there's a lot of emotion involved, there might be some anger, some resentment. But instead of standing up for yourself, instead of saying how you feel, instead of putting it out there, we have a tendency of holding it all in. Holding it all in because we don't want to rock the boat. Holding it all in because we don't want to actually say how we truly feel. We'd rather kind of just go with it, not worry about it, you know, just kind of let things go. And what happens is that one, we don't have any boundaries, okay? We don't have any leadership role in the relationship. We're being walked all over. Also, these types of things don't stop. Because until we put our foot down, this person is not going to stop doing what they're doing. It's just the way it is. And we really want their acceptance and love, but in reality, we've waited it out. We've gone years without saying anything. They haven't come around. They haven't really given us their acceptance. They haven't really shown us that compassion. They haven't really been there at all, unconditional love-wise. And so we're basically walking through a cycle in life with the fear of losing them, which you haven't lost them, but the fear of losing them is keeping you from actually standing up for yourself. And so we find ourselves in this catch-22. So let's begin to talk about some of the things that family members and friends can do. Because remember, actions do speak louder than words. I find that on this planet, we have a tendency of listening to what somebody says instead of watching what they do. Big mistake. I found that we have a tendency of literally what we do is we listen to what they say they're going to do, and they say, oh, I care about you and I love you and I would never want to see you get hurt and I never want to see anything bad happen to you, and I want to give you the world. But then in reality, like, there is no giving of the world. Not that anybody should have to support that concept. But also, it's actually quite the opposite when you begin to look at the actions of the individual. Actions do speak louder than words, and we have a tendency of being in such a wordy society. You know, somebody tells you all these great things about you, you take it to heart, but you don't really watch the fact that, you know, on the way out of the room, they tried to trip you. And so, in reality, we have a tendency of living in what I would consider a non-reality. We live in a world of what we want to hear. We live in a world based on what people are saying, not what they're doing. And then when we do have somebody disrespect us, especially somebody very close to us, most of us have a problem bringing it up. Real quick, I find it very interesting as well, is that, you know, think about when you've just met somebody that's not really a true friend, not been around, you don't really know them. Isn't it funny how it's so much easier to stand up for yourself? Isn't it funny how you can sit there and say something? Like when somebody does something out of character or something that's rude, it's like, it's easy for you to step up to the plate and say, hey, I didn't expect that, or I don't appreciate that. You know, it's really odd. And you just met this person. It's a lot easier than when you've known somebody for a very long time, when they've been a family member or a best friend. It's almost like you get stuck. Like, you can't form the words. You can't think of what to say. You get stuck in your own mind. You get overwhelmed. And you just don't know what to do. And not a good place to be at, because what's happening is these are the people that are closest to you. These are the people that, one, should have your back. And these are the people that you should be the most honest with. And we really need to be honest in all of our relationships, because that's what truly matters. However, many of us aren't honest because we're scared, because we don't want the people to hate us or stop liking us because of the fact that we were honest. Let me give you some examples of how some of these actions speak louder than words when it comes to what I would say disrespect from a certain level. Okay? Disrespect at a certain level. And I think these are some small examples, some bigger examples, but things that you might have dealt with in this week in particular, or yesterday, or at least sometime this year with a close friend or relative. You know, one good example that I find that's very interesting is when someone disrespects you by just showing up at your house. Okay. And I'm not saying that's all the way across rude. It does depend on the type of relationship you have. If you're somebody that, you know, you stop by and they stop by and that's a normal thing, great. But if that's not a normal thing and someone just stops by your house randomly, knocking on the door, what have you, you know, and you normally always do call each other and reach out prior, then this is an expedition or a fishing expedition to see what you're doing. Also a way of control. I don't respect you enough to call you to let you know. And sometimes people are sneaking up to know what you're doing as well, as they don't want to call you and tip you off. So they think something's up. Perhaps you're seeing somebody. Perhaps there's something, some activity going on that they need to be aware of. So basically, to me, this is always a fishing expedition, trying to get information on you. As well, it's a bit of a control factor. You know, so if it's not trying to get information on you, they're not trying to figure out that you're thinking you're hiding something or what have you. A good example would be like if drugs or alcohol involved, or maybe there's some sort of relationship involvement and they want to know. Outside of that realm, you know, if you're on a call-by-call basis, they need to call ahead of time to show up. You know, it's just proper etiquette. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just, who knows what you, if you would even be home. And that's one little small action. But when we're dealing with certain different personality traits and personality disorders, especially if you're dealing with somebody that has narcissistic tendencies, they will turn that stop by, even though you feel like you were put out, even though you feel whatever, they will turn it into either something like, how, you know, hey, I'm trying to be here as a friend. They'll make you feel bad for even bringing up the fact that they should have called. They'll try to make it into a surprise. They're going to turn it on you so that if you try to argue with them, you look like the jerk. Okay. And so for some of you out there, you've brought it up, you've said stuff before, and it's not all about fear rocking the boat, but you've said some things before, but it seems like every time you've said something, they always have a counter argument or a different thing. And they always try to, you know, tell you that you're paranoid or you're thinking too much into it. That can really throw us off after a while because we begin to question ourselves, because a lot of these folks sometimes that are very narcissistic have an answer for everything. They have an answer for everything and they can turn everything to make you feel bad, subconscious, overwhelmed, or that you're putting too much negative thought into it. A lot of different things at hand. And so there's a lot of us that are dealing with that family dynamic that we need to be aware of and understand that this is a direct source and action of disrespect. Another sign of disrespect by actions is somebody that's, you know, kind of looking down toward you or talking down about you, or seems to find fault in everything you're doing, or finds fault in what you do. So, you know, like back on Christmas vacation when Art, the father-in-law, is standing out on the lawn looking at the lights that Clark has put up, instead of saying, great job, he says, you know, the little lights aren't twinkling, Clark. Okay, so that's that kind of, it's words, but it's also actions, because it's a constant needling of the things that you haven't done properly. No matter if you've hung the moon in the sky and all the stars, one star is not working properly, and so that's your fault. And so these are things that we really need to begin to point out in the family dynamic, with our friends dynamic, because if we just let this stuff slide, two things. One, we lose the power in the relationship. It also shows us that we have no boundaries. But two is the fact that we begin to believe this type of negativity, or we begin to disvalue ourselves based on how people are treating us and how they're treating us who's mostly around us. And we have to be really aware of that And also, we have to be aware of the fact of when, quite honestly, we need to find that acceptance from ourselves and stop looking for other people for acceptance. And I'll talk about that later on. In the meantime, if you haven't already, check out my channel on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, YouTube, and put in Ashley Burgess. Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. You'll find new video content every single week on all kinds of psychological issues as far as personality disorders, family dynamic, codependency, and the list goes on. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I'm asking the question, how often do you allow family and friends, close friends at that, to get away with things they shouldn't get away with when it comes to being around you or things that they do to you or say about you? And you let them get away with it because you don't want to rock the boat, aka you don't want to lose them, you want their acceptance, you want their love, and the list goes on. And I think many of us find ourselves there, whether it's with a family member, a parent, an aunt or uncle, maybe a sister or brother that's always kind of taking you for granted or always made judgment calls, maybe not been very supportive, maybe quite the opposite, you know, is a big deal as well. Quite the opposite of being supportive, actually quite nasty. And you still want to be on their good side. You still want them to love you. And in that need for acceptance, you lose yourself in the process. And I think it happens to more of us than we even think about it. And so if you're listening to the show right now and you're thinking, huh, I don't know. I mean, do I have that? I really think you need to think about the family dynamic, the closest friends you have. Have you recently felt disrespected? Have you felt disrespected for a long period of time? You know, are there things that your family members or your friends do that show you that they disrespect you? I'm not talking about what they necessarily say. But see, even when somebody says something negative or nasty, it can be cloaked in a different way. And so a lot of times, many of us might have tried to stand up for ourselves in the past. And you stand up for yourself in the past, and the person turns it around on you. That's not at all what I was trying to say. You completely misread me. You're completely making things up. You're putting words in my mouth. I did not mean that. Or turning it around to make you even feel bad for even bringing up the subject matter. And it happens a lot. Okay? But having that happen in the past should not be a deterioration of standing up for yourself. But many of you out there have stood up for yourself, but some of you have not. Some of you have really not. When it's come to family and close friends, you have not stood up for yourself. You have not stood up for yourself, and people are constantly disrespecting. And so right before the break, I was talking about specific examples of disrespect. I had talked about a simple example, and I know some of you, it's not a big deal, but for some of you, it is. If somebody just shows up at your house, if your mother just showed up at your house, if your father just showed up at your house, if your friend just showed up at your house. Now, some of you have relationships where that's not a big deal. You do that to them, they do that to you, it's okay. But you got to kind of step back, and even if that's normal in your relationship, a little respect and a little boundaries are not a bad thing to have. It's not a bad thing to have. Good relationships are created on a cornerstone of good, high-quality boundaries. Meaning, and I'll give you an example. I love my mom, and my mom and I get along exceedingly well. We're very good friends. But there's not one way, there's not one reason that I would go over to her house without calling her first to let her know that I'm coming over and to give her ample time to do whatever. Because I feel that when you respect somebody and you respect their space, you also respect the fact that you should call ahead of time to see if you can come by. And this is a direct sign of respect. Respecting someone's space and time is very important. I mean, time and health are the two most important things, and you can't get back time. And so because I always want to show everybody that I love with respect, and I want to be honest and respectful in all of my actions and doings. And so that's a really big sign. If somebody is not showing you respect by not calling ahead of time, not thinking of your wishes first, that's not a good sign of somebody that actually cares about you. That's a sign of somebody that's either on a fishing expedition to find out what's going on over at your house and wants to do a little bit of snooping or is up to something, or somebody that doesn't really respect you at all. You know, another good example that I find interesting is we all have different lifestyle choices. Some of us choose to drink. Some of us don't choose to drink. Some of us choose to smoke. Others of us choose not to smoke. And I find it interesting how folks who drink or smoke like to do that in front of other people and around other people and at other people's houses that don't. Very interesting dynamic, and it's an action that speaks volumes of disrespect. I mean, I get the fact that it's hard not to smoke. If you're a smoker, it's hard not to. I get it. And if you're a drinker, I mean, to some degree, there needs to be some self-restraint. But, you know, in order to, you really need that as far as a healthy dynamic for the alcohol or the smoking. But I know that both can lead to addiction and addictive personality. But when you're at someone's house who is a recovering alcoholic or somebody that chooses not to drink, the idea of bringing alcohol into their home without asking permission and what have you is complete disrespect. And I find it interesting how this happens more often than not. And I also find it very interesting how family members who have family members who are in recovery still choose to drink around their brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers who are in recovery. It's a very interesting dynamic, and it shows me the little respect they have of that person's rehabilitation, but it also shows me more than that, that their addiction to alcohol, their need to drink, is more important than respecting their sibling or their mother, father, aunt, or uncle, and so it's more important than respecting their sobriety, okay? And I think this is very interesting. I think this is a big sign of disrespect, but I also see it's not just the fact that they're disrespecting. There has to be a level of boundaries. We have to have some boundaries in these relationships. Okay, so the boundary in that relationship would be, hey, you know, if you're gonna come stay with me, or you're coming over to my house, you know I don't drink, and you know I don't smoke. I don't allow either one of those in my home, and I'm not keen on allowing you to drink in the driveway. So, if you know, you really need to think about that before you come by. I mean, if you need to have a drink before you get here, that's one thing, but I don't allow it here in my home. With regards to smoking, I don't smoke in my own home. I don't smoke at all. You cannot smoke in my home. If you need to smoke, you can smoke outside. But see, there's a lot of different interesting dynamics involved with the disrespect, especially with someone who has been addicted to a substance or, you know, drinking or what have you in the past. To bring that around that person really shows that you care so much about your ability to have a drink or your ability to do XYZ that you don't care about that other person. Another thing that's interesting is when people talk down. So you have a family member that talks down to you or a friend that talks down to you. Maybe you're working on something and they find all the fault in it. Maybe they find the issues with it. Maybe they, you know, I just don't know how you're ever going to do that. I don't know how you're going to pull that off. You know, finding the faults, finding the weak links that you have and really commenting on it. Because the thing that bothers me with that is twofold. The first thing is that when people do that, it's not like we don't have insecurities. It's not like you don't have an insecurity that you haven't already heard that in your own mind, correct? So it's like they're echoing this like disenchantment, negativity, negative spin. And all you can do is like think about it and it sounds like it's coming from your head. So now it sounds like you're listening to a megaphone on auto repeat, right? Another thing is that how do they get off talking negative or down? And then why don't we say anything? Because a lot of times somebody will make a comment that's kind of rude, and instead of saying anything, you kind of like, that's funny, that's okay, you know, let's lay off purges here, whatever. instead of saying, "Hey, I don't appreciate that. I don't talk down about you. I don't try to make you feel miserable, and I expect the same from you." I think that we've got to put up boundaries to have good, solid relationships. Another thing is that acting as if your feelings don't matter. So, you know, maybe you feel a certain way. Maybe you're upset about something and you're trying to kind of voice your feelings and your opinion, and they just don't want to hear anything about it. And anytime you do, oh, they kind of make light of your thoughts, or they make light of your opinion, or they make light of your feelings. Like, you're not a person too? Like, you don't have the right to feel this way? Doesn't make any sense. But the thing is that oftentimes we don't step up to the plate and stand up for it. We don't stand up for ourselves. We do quite the opposite. We act like it doesn't exist. We act like they didn't say that. We laugh it off. We smirk it off. We make another comment. We change the conversation. Change the subject. When why are we trying to laugh it off? Why are we trying to change the subject? This is something that we need to speak up about. But because of the cycle and the way that our life has been over so many years of our life, we choose to not rock the boat. I mean, if a stranger came up to you and said something crazy like what your mom did, your dad did, your sister or brother did, you would literally have to hold back from knocking them out. But when it comes to these people, they get a pass. Why do they get a pass? They get a pass because you want their acceptance. You want their love. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. And don't miss it. Reggie Harvey is joining us in studio in the next segment to give us his insight and perspective on relationships and the human condition pertaining directly to what we're talking about tonight. Stay tuned.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I've been asking the question, how often do you allow family and friends to get away with things they shouldn't be able to get away with in fear of rocking the boat and losing their love and acceptance? Yeah, I think a lot of us find ourselves there, been there before, done that. Maybe we're in it right now, and we allow people to get away with things because we're scared. We want their acceptance, want their love, even though they've done something rude, disrespectful, perhaps talked down to us, or their actions were very loud, and the fact that what we were talking about didn't matter, or what we needed was important. No, they just like sacrificed that because it didn't matter to them. And I find that it's time more than ever to speak up for ourselves, because the reason we don't speak up for ourselves is we want this unconditional love. We want to find this love, but we're looking for it for all the wrong places. We're looking for acceptance from people. And so we let them just walk all over us, thinking that we're going to get acceptance from these folks. If we just keep playing the game and we keep doing the deal, we'll get the acceptance and eventually we'll move on. But the thing is that how do you get acceptance from someone that doesn't respect you? When somebody shows disrespecting you, whether it's a small or a big thing, maybe they they come by your house without calling you, which I would never do to anybody. I mean, just out of respect for the fact that you have your own space and I got my space and I don't want you doing that to me and vice versa. I mean, not that I really care, but I mean, I have boundaries out of respect boundaries. Yeah, I mean, you can call me and be like, I'm in the area. Great. You give me a heads up. But the thing is that it's got to be mutual. It has to be both people respecting each other. It's the idea of somebody talking down to you or making a snide comment and letting it go, or, oh, that's funny. You know, but it's like we have to speak up for ourselves no matter how close the person is. I know that you want validation, but, I mean, the irony of this is that you're not going to get validation from the person if they don't respect you. I mean, that's the irony of it, which is so sad. I'll give you a good example. When you're looking for acceptance from a parent or a friend, it's like going to the party and trying to get that last piece of cake, okay? There's a big wedding party, and there's one piece of cake left, and you're trying to get through the crowd, and you see it, and you see the lady, she's cutting the last piece and putting it on the plate, and you try to get there, and you miss it. You miss it so far, and there's no more cake. Okay, this is just the example of acceptance, right? You didn't get it. You're looking for it outside of yourself. You didn't get it. Okay, the next party you go to, there's 15 cakes, but you stopped eating cakes because you found out that you're pre-diabetic, so you stopped eating all kinds of candy, cookies, sweets, and sugar. That's what I'm talking about. Do you get what I'm saying? Once you have your own acceptance and you accept yourself, you don't need anybody else to accept you. You don't need it because you already got it yourself. But nobody's going to accept you when you don't stand up for yourself. But in order to stand up for yourself, you have to accept yourself and accept who you are and validate yourself. Very powerful stuff that I'm talking about here, stuff that you can't overlook because this is the stuff that really, truly does matter. You know, I always find it interesting when we talk about relationships because relationships are so multifaceted. And we have some relationships that we don't put enough effort into. We have some relationships quite opposite from these types of relationships that we don't tell people how we're feeling. We don't tell them the full story, and we don't even give them the chance to help us in any way. All very interesting stuff. So I think we should expound on that idea right now. Joining me live in studio, Reggie Harvey. Reggie is a survivor of a near-fatal illness, the author of Anatomy of a Patient, and a really good friend. Reggie, I'm so glad to have you in studio.
Ashley, I'm so glad that you had me back.
You know, you and I have been talking a lot about people and relationships, and sometimes we make decisions about people that might not actually be clear. We might actually cut people out of our lives or not give them the ability to step up to the plate and help us or serve us in some way. How do you feel about that?
It's interesting that you ask me that. Both in terms of my current medical situation and my early career in engineering. I had an opportunity to collaborate with some brilliant people on a project, and I quit my job to set up the business and move forward with the project, and then everybody else stayed comfortably employed, and everything blew up. It was the first real crisis that I had felt, but I solved it, ended up transitioning to a new industry. Months later, I went back to my original home city, Houston, and met with the attorney who had helped me to establish the company for this venture. And I was happy to tell him how I had pulled my ass out of the fire and all the things that I had accomplished. And he just sat there quietly staring at me and said, "I thought we were friends." Now, this shocked me. We were being served dessert. And I thought we'd had a wonderful evening. And I realized in that moment that I had taken him for granted by keeping him out of my dilemma.
I think that's interesting because I think a lot of times we fear telling someone. We don't want to put a burden on them. We don't want to put them in a position where they feel like they have to do something. And so in this situation, you were like, "Hey, I was the hero. I got out of it." And then you were just telling him about getting out of it. But then he looked at it like, "Why wasn't I allowed to be involved?"
Exactly. And this is what he said to me. He said, "You know, I'm not particularly handsome. I can only do one thing well, and I am a damn good attorney." He said, "I could have fixed all of those issues for you. I could have helped you solve those things." He said, "But you decided on my behalf what my value was to you. And you kept me out of that situation where the only thing I could have done to help you, you shot it in the head." No one had ever explained that to me before. Now I was just 30. Fast forward to dealing with this renal failure issue, I realized in the first days, any communication that I was going to have with anybody, my friends, colleagues, the medical staff, people I had yet to meet, I had to be clear and blunt. I could not worry about how others were going to react to the information that I was going to share, not if I wanted to survive. And I reflected on that conversation at dinner over dessert where this dear friend of mine told me how I had pushed him out of my life in that moment.
You know, it's interesting, Reggie, I find that, you know, we have friends that are amazing. It doesn't matter, but some folks we just we tell them what's up, and others we don't. And I think when we have a good friend and we have someone that we trust, we've got to step up to the plate and tell them how we care or what's happening in our life, or tell them the stuff that we don't really want everybody on the planet to know. And then honestly, instead of being fearful in the beginning, taking the fear out of it and letting them decide how they want to handle that. And I think that's powerful.
Exactly. And now I know with intellectual certainty that that is the better way of doing things. You know, in our society today, and I sort of blame social media for this, people use language. We all use language in a casually accurate way. We love to swim in the lane of obfuscation and fogginess and grayness, trying to manipulate or play the odds to see what's going to fall in our favor, rather than just being direct and accurate.
Oh, I agree with you. And I think it's also about being honest and being straightforward with our words.
Exactly.
And I think you know that more than anybody, because in the situation you're in, you can't mince words.
Exactly. And you've got to give people the full opportunity to decide to what extent they can and are able to participate. If you are cagey about it, they don't know what to do. So that kind of ties back in with our original conversation that people, you have to learn how to acknowledge the genuine extension of support that the people around you offer, even complete strangers. And you have to acknowledge that you saw it, you valued it, you appreciated it, and that they didn't have to do it, but because they did, you're grateful. And again, that all comes out of being clear.
Valuable words, Reggie. And I think we can all be impacted by this.
Well, thank you for bringing that to the table. It's one of those things that you don't really get to discuss in casual conversation, but I'm glad we had a chance to discuss it here.
Me too. And I look forward to having you back on next week to enlighten us even more and things that we can do in our day-to-day life to make our life easier and better.
Thank you, Ashley.
Very powerful words. And I love when Reggie comes on the show, because there's a lot of relationships that we're really not allowing to blossom. We're keeping it at arm's length. We're not seeing the value of it. And there's some relationships like the ones that I'm talking about that we're giving all of our energy to, all of our power to, when we really need to start pulling back the reins, creating some boundaries in some of these relationships, and allowing some of these new relationships to blossom in our life. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives. We'll be back this time in 2 Shakes.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I've been asking the question, how often do you allow family and friends to get away with things that they shouldn't be able to get away with around you, in fear of rocking the boat, in fear of losing them from your life? You know, it's interesting, we get scared of losing folks from our lives because we want their acceptance. We want them in our life. We want them to love us. And so we let them get away with, well, not murder, but pretty close, putting us down, making us feel bad, disrespecting us in many ways, not creating any boundaries, being, you know, there at their beck and call, you know, doing everything that they want us to do, and still they find fault in us and in the situation. And that's because of that codependency and the desire we have to keep the relationship together in hopes of this acceptance. We don't speak up. And we don't speak up because we don't want them to not like us, right? We want them to like us. So instead of speaking up, we just take it. We could just take the put downs, the anger. We get a little resentful. And we don't want to rock that boat. And we want them to like us and love us. And we need their acceptance. And so this cycle, it goes over and over and over again. And it's consistent. And in many of our lives, it's something we've dealt with our whole life. And so how do we overcome this? Because, you know, this show is all about solution. And, you know, like I find what Reggie was talking about so empowering and so purposeful, again, solution. And what I'm offering right now is solution. Okay, So let's talk about solution when it comes to this. Reason why you're in the situation is you want their acceptance. And remember the example of the cake that I talked about earlier in the show? You want the piece of cake, you don't get the piece of cake. When you don't want the cake and you don't want any more cake because you got enough cake, then all the cakes in the world come to you. That is acceptance in a nutshell. So the only way to offset the need to get other people's acceptance is to actually find the acceptance within yourself. So how do you do that? Well, first of all, we have to actually create respect for ourselves, and that means standing up for ourselves. Boundaries. So it begins with small things. So the next time somebody puts you down, standing up for yourself. Now, I'm not talking about getting in their face and punching them down to the ground and beating them merciless. No, I'm talking about actually standing up for yourself. And I know that a lot of you have a lot of regret built up because you haven't done it. A lot of you have resentment and anger. Violence is never a just response. However, why have you allowed yourself to go down that slippery slope and not stood up for yourself? And that means being honest with word and deed. So the next time that somebody disrespects you, let's say shows up at your house, unannounced, uncalled ahead of time, that's when you either answer it. I would answer it, because if you don't answer it, it's just the silent treatment. You answer the door, you walk outside, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. The next time you come over, you need to call. That's out of respect and honesty. And that's it. And you just, that's it. I'll talk to you later. Have a great day. I got things I got to do. Okay? I mean, you don't just sit there and open the door and go, oh, come on in. Great. Stick all the anger and resentment back in. Force it down. When somebody makes a comment to you that's rude, derogatory, puts you down, instead of laughing or walk on eggshells or whatever, act like you didn't hear it. No, hey, I don't appreciate what you just said. I think that's wrong. You should take that back. I don't speak like that to you. I don't put you down. I don't put you down to make myself feel better. And I think those are the things that need to be spoken. And only the most honest deed and word. When you're honest in your word and you're straightforward and you're truthful and to the point, that's powerful stuff. Now, it's going to take a while because many of us in this situation have been dealing with it for many years. You've been disrespected for a very long time, and the person that's doing the disrespecting is not thinking that you're going to eventually come out of your shell anytime soon. And if you finally do start putting boundaries like this out there, they're going to think that you might be seeing a therapist, or maybe you're seeing a life coach, or maybe, I don't know, maybe you're on drugs, or maybe whatever, a friend told you to do it. Okay? So it's going to take a while to make a dent in what's already being happened. Okay, this has already taken place. Damage is there, but you know what? You can always stop further damage. And you have to be consistent. It's like we're dealing with a child. You can't tell the kid one night they have to be in bed at 10, and then the next night let them stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't work that way. You've got to be consistent. That's the only way that they'll learn. That's the only way that they'll grow. And that's the only way that you can actually help them, because consistency is key. So you can't just say one thing about the rude comment and then the next week when a rude comment is made not say anything. You've got to step up again. These are examples of boundaries. So it's not like you're like, hear ye, written on this parchment is my 12 boundaries that you cannot walk over. No. It's like, hey, I'm going to exercise my boundaries. I'm going to show you how I want to be treated by stepping up to the plate and saying what I want and putting my 2 cents in that is smart and efficient, and I expect you to understand it, or at least even if you don't understand it, I expect you to follow it. And you got to be consistent, and you got to be repetitive. Remember, the way that you learn in life is repetition. It's like anything else. You have to train them so they understand how to treat you. Now, if you go wishy-washy and you go back and forth, you have these boundaries, and then all of a sudden you just let them just, it doesn't matter. So you told them that they have to call the next time they come over. And so the next time they call, but then the next time they come over after that, they just show up because you know what? Old habits die hard, man. And the fact that you never had boundaries, why should I listen to your boundaries? You've got to be consistent. That time, You either don't answer or you say, hey, this isn't going to fly. We already had this conversation. Not sure if you remembered it or not, but I'm going to go on and go through this conversation again. And by the way, as you lock the door when you're walking out to leave, you go, hey, I hope y'all have a good day. I'll talk to you later. You got to be consistent. Without consistency, you have nothing. And the consistent thing that you want to focus on is the fact that you begin to care about yourself, represent yourself in a respectful manner, step up to the plate, and do what you got to do. Very powerful stuff here. So remember, in order to get that self-acceptance, we have to begin by creating these healthy boundaries with folks in our life. The more we stand up for ourselves in a positive way, the more that positive standing up for oneself begins to be a part of our inner mantra. It becomes part of our inner sanctum, and it becomes a way of life. And that actually helps us to respect ourselves and value our choices and our beliefs. And it actually really helps us in the long run to really see ourselves appropriately and to really recognize our true value. Most of us don't realize our value. Most of us put ourselves down on a daily basis. And you know what? I don't want to see you do that because I respect you and I care about you and I love you. And I want to see the best for you and to live your true life. Please share this show with your family and friends and live your true life perspectives. We'll be back this time in 3 Shakes.